Cozy traditions feel good, and that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy. Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Welcome back to the Ryron YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, this time following the Jacksonville Jaguars absolute domination of the visiting New York Jets. The Jets, Evan Ryer, came down from Gotham and were quickly grounded. This Jaguar offense with Trevor Lawrence playing at a previously unseen sort of level right now, gets the job done. The backs were devastating in the passing game. Great plan from Liam Cohen and the offensive brain trust. And now you get the Broncos of Denver coming up. I go back to 1997. You were just a mere tyke when the Jags went out there and took care of business in the divisional round of the AFC playoffs. So there's always going to be some of that sentimentality for me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the most legendary Jaguars wins, right? You know, even, you know, however many years later, 30 years later, that's or close to 30 years later, that's one of the all-time great wins. And hopefully they can kind of channel that energy. I mean, there's probably not a better time for the Jaguars to make this trip to Denver all season. I mean, really, if they were making this trip, let's say 5 weeks ago, probably wasn't going to go well. Even if you go before that, I don't necessarily trust the Jaguars' chances. But with how they've played the past few weeks, I just think that, yeah, if there's a time to really make a statement and go on the road and win in Denver, it's right now.
Yeah, and before we get too much into that matchup, we need to look back at this past Sunday at Everbank Field. I thought it was as much of a AFC title contender performance as we've seen from the Jaguars this season. I understand. Jets are awful. Jets started Brady Cook, the rookie from Missouri, in this game. But the manner in which from start to finish the Jags took care of business, that resonated as a very professional performance. And obviously Trevor Lawrence is where it starts. I mean, just – 6 total touchdowns, historic in a lot of ways what we saw from Trevor Lawrence. Throws for 330, 5 touchdowns, average 10 yards per attempt. And usually when a quarterback gets into double digits, especially in the National Football League where yards per attempt are concerned, you think, boy, the wide receivers must have absolutely lit it up. And that was the case to an extent. Obviously, you still had some really good things from Jacoby Myers and Brian Thomas Jr., Parker Washington as well. They all contributed, but Travis Etienne as a receiver, 3 touchdown catches for Travis Etienne in this game. So I hear some of the talk about, well, the run game, look at the rushing numbers. I'm not worried about rushing numbers when Travis Etienne has 3 catches for 73 yards and 3 touchdowns. Facial Tootin, unfortunately, going to be out now, as we've learned. 1 catch for 16 yards and a touchdown. You had 4 touchdown receptions from your back, Evan.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's it was insane. It just seemed like the Jets didn't adjust, and Cohen said, okay, like we're in Trevor.
Back stuff was devastating. Yeah.
Yeah, just we're just going to keep doing it. And it never stopped working all throughout the game. No, I mean, but that's the thing is, like, Trevor was still, like, probably the best throws of the day were not to – the running backs, right? Like, I mean, the rollout throw that he basically replicated from the week prior, seeing that again, seeing that that first touchdown pass to BTJ is a dime. No, it's only a 4-yard pass, but that window, if you go back and watch that, is so tight.
It really was the window.
Yeah, yeah, really. I mean, he threw
the, him. The DB made the he dropped into the window, and it was still ripped in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, just really, really cool to see. You know, as you said, previously unseen. You know, people can say like, "Oh no, we've seen it with Trevor." No, we haven't seen that. Like, we haven't seen what happened on Sunday. That was a really special performance. And you know, we said like a few weeks ago after like the first really good performance, we were like, "Well, you know, we're worried about Trevor stacking, you know, game after game performances." He's doing it right now. I mean, again, the Jets are not great competition. The Colts weren't necessarily great competition either, but I mean, you play against the teams that you're scheduled against, and Trevor is as confident we've ever seen him.
Yeah, and even with what we've seen in terms of replication now for consecutive weeks, it's almost like there's still this belief around the league that if the Jags light you up, you got to make a change at defensive coordinator, which is what Aaron Glenn did immediately after – the events of Sunday down on the St. John's River. And, you know, when you're on a heater, you're on a heater, because a couple of the plays that we saw from Trevor maybe in the past didn't work out as well, you know.
Right.
The spin out against pressure, there's been times in the past where that hasn't gone well. But to your point, the last couple of weeks, it's worked out. A lot of that has to do with a number one pick and that ability and the talent that made him, the physical attributes that made him a number one pick. But I think Liam Cohen's doing an excellent job too.
Yeah.
Touchdown pass to Tootin there off a two back and providing some eye candy pre-snap with Travis Etienne. And then knowing all the way they were going to Tootin, I got to the point where I felt bad for Quincy Williams of the Jets, because what we saw from the outset Sunday was very much a concerted effort to go after number 56 in white, and he was chasing ETN for much of the day on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, really encouraging to see Trevor this confident, but seeing Cohen just like be in his bag when it comes to play calling. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see. Now, I will say that, you know, you could, you know, it was kind of a game that went against our principles, right? Of like, well, they got to run the ball all the time, like, or whatever, you know, we want Trevor throwing 20 passes if possible. It's like, no, like at the end of the day, Cohen said, well, if Trevor's, you know, throwing the ball well, let's see if we can just continue to hit this same spot over and over and over. And they did. Not to mention too, that, you know, you have a game like this for Trevor and you don't even, you know, really like use Brenton Strange, like Brenton Strange and Parker Washington were almost afterthoughts. That's exciting too. It's nice to know that, okay, well, we don't just have to go to the safety valve to get the ball moving down the field. You know, with the way that Jakobi Meyers is playing right now, it's so exciting. And then BTJ with another solid game.
Yeah.
Like just like nothing crazy special, but just another really good game. It feels like at the moment the Jaguars have 4 or 5 guys that if you get them the football in a passing situation, they could potentially, you know, break out a huge play, score a touchdown. You know, I mean, that's not where we thought we were going to be, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago when Travis Hunter first went down.
Yeah, it's amazing with Hunter out, and BTJ still had maybe one opportunity, I think, in the end zone where they weren't quite able to finish it there. But I just think the addition of Jakobi Meyers, not only in terms of what he presents on the field, but that room. Because when you think about that wide receiver room, the youth and inexperience, when things didn't get off to a good start, you could see how that could snowball. I mean, when you're number one, you're clear-cut number one as a second-year player, and he's going through it, and then you've got a guy that's a rookie that you're leaning on heavily. De'Ami Brown obviously did not pan out. He fumbled again in a mop-up opportunity on Sunday. So I will say that for Gladstone, the De'Ami Brown move is
terrible.
Hasn't been good at all. It's been Gabe Davis bad, but a lot of GMs would have stood on it. Nope, that's the move we made. You guys make it work. Well, obviously it wasn't working, so they still went out and got Jakobi Meyers.
Yeah.
That in some ways was an admittance that we made a bad move with Deami Brown, but you know, ego didn't get in the way, is my point.
Yeah. Well, not to mention, too, that at the end of the day, the Deami Brown mistake is a single-year mistake. It's not like you signed this guy to a three-year deal, and now you're like, oh, shoot, like we got dead money. Well,
he wasn't the rental you were hoping for, so go get an upgrade. It hurts. Right. You know,
when you don't invest, over-invest, you may overpay, but you don't over-invest time and in contracts. That's a huge, huge deal. I gotta give credit to Gladstone for, you know, just kind of rebounding with that. Also, Tim Patrick, I mean, obviously wasn't a factor yesterday, but also has ended up kind of being a pretty important number five, I guess you could say, number five receiver, number four. So, yeah, I mean, overall, you know, we were excited to see Gladstone and this team, this front office, make moves and be aggressive, even when, you know, there was kind of the downs of earlier in the season. The low points, and they didn't like stop trying to get better. And now it's paying dividends. Like, the Jaguars are in a great spot. So
absolutely. And, you know, we talk about the run game, but, and we've hit on this in recent weeks, the inclusion of Trevor now and design quarterback runs, something we saw once again against the Jets.
Yeah.
It's sort of flown under the radar, I think, for some folks, but it has struck me the last couple weeks. And I think it's now created within Trevor a belief that, you know what, I am athletic. I can make some plays with my legs. You don't want him going overboard with it and ending up with injury issues like he's had the last couple of years. But situationally and in spots, you know, that's how you get the yards in that area that maybe you don't get from ETN and the backs and the ground game. And I go back to scrimmage yards. I'm not worried about rushing yards. You know, if ETN's going to finish a game with 100-plus scrimmage yards and three or four touchdowns, I don't care where they come from. Yeah. If he's catching the ball for 70 and he's running for 40 and he's scoring three or four times, that's a W for me. I don't need to see it specifically in one column or the other. Just give me those yards, however he gets them.
Yeah, for sure. I'm wondering, you know, I mean, really, I guess you could say it's the rushing attack with Trevor kind of starts with that Chiefs game because he has the 54 yards and then two touchdowns. But, you know, really over the weeks since, there's only been like one game in which he's ran for two or less times. I wonder what it was that Cohen said or just, you know, really stressed that made Trevor more eager to break out and go.
I think he scripted it. Initially, he said, you're going to run by script. And from there, I think maybe it's created a spark within Trevor that in spots and something that maybe is being reinforced in meeting rooms and preparation throughout the week is that, you know what, if they're in man coverage and we run off coverage and pass rush lanes don't get adhered to, use your legs in spots judiciously. And I think that's been, I mean, your quarterback on Sunday averaged 10.2 yards per carry and 10.3 yards per a pass attempt.
Dynamic. I mean,
Lamar Jackson-ish.
Yeah.
No, I mean, when you start talking about that, again, not something you want to see Trevor. I don't want to see Trevor much more than 30 pass attempts. I don't want to see Trevor much more than 6-7 rush attempts. But if you can marry those two with his physical attributes, he can win you a lot of football games within this offense. And we haven't even talked about the play once again at Cole Van Landen. You've been very much
now starting.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, regardless of Walker Little status moving forward.
He's getting his flowers now. There are people starting to notice that Cole Van Landen is playing at a very, very high level right now. And really, I wonder if it's, rising tide lifts all boats or whatever. It's like when you have a guy like Van Landen come in, you know, and you've got a little bit more, assuredness, I guess, at that spot. If, you know, Trevor's playing better because of that, if he's feeling more confident, more, you know, safe, you know, to kind of try and make something happen. And also the rest of the offensive line, because really the offensive line over this stretch has been really, really good. Sure, there's the occasional hold, false start, you know, But we've seen a cutback in those penalties over the past month or two in a way that, one, I didn't know if it was going to be possible considering where they were starting. You know, when you go back to September and this team is getting like 10 offensive illegal motion or whatever type penalties a game, like, Jesus, dude, like, can they run the offense? Yeah, they can. Yeah, they're running the offense right now. It is clicking.
Wristband Trevor. Wristband Trevor.
Yeah. And also, we haven't even mentioned the defense. I mean, don't get me wrong, 20 points to a Jets team that's, you know, running Brady Cook out there. Sure, you can say whatever, but you force the ball over, interceptions. You sack the quarterback three times. If you make dynamic plays like that, it's okay if you get scored on every once in a while, because generally your offense is going to pick you up. And that's kind of what happened in Jacksonville on Sunday.
Yeah, Cook had a little success early. Give him some credit. As a rookie quarterback, I don't think Campanile was especially exotic the first couple of possessions.
Yeah.
But after the Jets went down and got into the end zone on a nice drive by Cook and in New York, I thought Campanile started changing the picture more, started adding some people, a little more pressure, and that's when it started to flip. And for the Jags, I mean, you wanted Brady Cook having to win that football game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, with the receivers and you know, the people that the Jets have right now in the passing game, the one thing that couldn't happen was that offensive line and that run game for the Jets to be the difference, and they weren't.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, if you can go up as quickly as the Jaguars did, you know, you don't really get to run the football as much, right? So, also, you know, credit to Trayvon Walker with that fourth down tackle for loss, probably the biggest play besides any of the interceptions. Also, Monterrick Brown's in his bag right now. That interception that he made was absolutely out of this world. That diving catch was impressive as all hell. So that's encouraging to see too. Gardeck, you know, still popping up, making plays, gets that sack. So, you know, it's kind of a little, it still feels a little bit patchwork. Like, there's clear hot spots on the defense, you know, Josh Hines Allen, Devin Lloyd. But you know, the fact that we're just continuing to see like one guy after another step up, you know, it's not like there's a new star breaking out on this defense per se, but
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
It just continues to force a play whenever they need it, and they're getting it from all over the field. So that's really nice, too.
You can get a little bit of everything, by the way, where I'm at right now, Evan.
Yeah.
I'm at Party Girl in Avondale, where Avondale and Fairfax meet on the west side of Duval. And today is the one-year anniversary for Party Girl.
Right.
How about that? 1 year exactly. Party Girl has been in existence right now. Got some great soups. If you're a soup fan this time of year, Marry Me Chicken Soup. I can smell it right now. That got some good of that House Chex mix that your madre has put together for years for our family. Well, you can get it right here at Party Girl. It's very much a down-home feel right here at Party Girl. A lot of great gift options, too. Obviously, we're on the countdown to Christmas Day. So if you need that special gift, get baskets, wine, all kinds of great food, sweets, gifts right here at Party Girl Avondale, 4205 St. John's Avenue. Once again, at where Herschel and St. John's kind of come together, and a big one coming up for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I have no doubt about that. A couple quarterbacks on absolute heaters. Bo Nix, the performance against the Packers last Sunday, that was catastrophic for the Packers on a number of levels. Micah Parsons lost for the season. Pack was up 23-14 in that game before getting boat raced by the Broncos. And I guess you want to start from the Jaguars' perspective with the matchup against that defense, right? Patrick Surtain at the cornerback position, probably the best doing it right now in the NFL. He's going to take away somebody. I guess one of the silver linings, though, from this multitude of guys that the Jags are getting it from is that even if that's the case, this isn't a Jaguar passing attack that is overly dependent on one guy. You know, if you want to take away BTJ, well, you got to do something with Jacoby Myers, the backs. Your thoughts on that as we look ahead to the matchup?
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting to see who Surtain follows the most, or if the, you know, Broncos defense kind of just approaches it like with play your side. Like at this point, you know, when you've got these different options and the Jaguars are spraying the ball so well, it might just be better having Surtain just kind of going with whoever seems to be the lead at that point. You know, I think about Surtain, yeah. I do think about Surtain, but I also think about the two safeties for the Broncos. I think about Hufanga and Devin Key. When you talk about, you know, trying to hit the running backs in these passing situations, those dudes are going to be a big part of that. That's going to be a key matchup to watch, as well as anything to do with Brenton Strange. Probably going to see Hufanga and Devin Key in the mix there. That's going to be interesting, because if the, you know, Riley Moss and Surtain are kind of locking down Jacoby Myers and BTJ, which I think, you know, I think they might, you know, I think that could be a really tough battle for both those receivers to win. You know, Trevor's going to be looking for Brent Strange, especially. You think about, you know, how is Parker Washington going to do against that nickel corner? Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different little matchups in this one. It's not like really cut and dry exactly how the Jaguars might attack this. When you look at, you know, previous performances for this defense, you know, they have had a lot of games where they've just absolutely shut down teams. But, I mean, Green Bay was able to, you know, offensively do some stuff. So were the Commanders a few weeks ago. You know, it's not impervious, but it is a really, really strong defense that is going to be – you know, you're going to have to be not only explosive, but you're going to have to be disciplined too, because this is the type of defense that, yeah, if you, you know, kind of cut it too loose, or if you get a little too desperate, they're going to make you pay.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, Packers running back, less than 100% going into that game last Sunday, still averaged over 5 yards per carry, and also did some things that we've seen Travis Etienne and Tootin and these backs do for Jacksonville in the passing game. Had a really great touchdown catch. Yeah, if you can get some of these same matchups, especially against the linebacker level, Dre Greenlaw, some of those guys. Dre Greenlaw obviously has history with the Jags, with the previously with the 49ers. We've seen that. Yeah. Then you can have some of that same success, I think, that you've had. And it couldn't come at a – this matchup couldn't come at a better time for the Jacksonville offense, because there's such a confidence – there's such an ability to distribute the football to different guys. You said it, maybe Brenton Strange wasn't that guy against the Jets, but he damn well might be much more important against this Broncos D. What about Bo Nix and that Broncos offense against this Jaguar D right now? I think by just about every level, we can talk about last Sunday maybe being Trevor's best individual performance as a pro. I think some people would make that same argument for Bo Nix last week with 4 touchdown passes against a really good Packers defense that, at least for some of that game, though, was without unquestionably its very best pass rusher.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a game for JHA and Trayvon Walker to really disrupt, because otherwise I don't actually feel very good about these receivers against our secondary. You know, Courtland Sutton is just a
that guy. Yeah,
dude, he is so good. Yeah, maybe not the fastest, most explosive, you know, breakaway guy, although he definitely can do that. But he, if the ball, he's going to be open. He's going to be open. So you got to be able to disrupt Bo Nix, because he's going to be able to win some matchups against Jarian Jones and co. I'm also a little worried about Troy Franklin. Troy Franklin's kind of been boom or bust this year, feast or famine. But you talk about a big play guy, like that dude is kind of like almost like a – I would get, almost give him like a B-rated version of like Jaylen Waddle or something like that. Like he's really dynamic on those deep routes, and it's not going to be easy if you can't like slow him down. I kind of am thinking maybe Jarian Jones on him, and then you'd say, Buster, can you make a couple plays against Courtland Sutton? That's a rough ask, but you need your most athletic corner on Troy Franklin, if I'm being honest. Not to mention that Evan Engram revenge game is coming. That's going to be another thing to watch too.
Christian Kirk tour.
Yeah, Yeah. I think that could be a problem. The Broncos have been pretty good at keeping Bo Nix clean, but Bo Nix doesn't like to give up on plays, and that's where the Jaguars need to probably take advantage of.
He loves
to extend a play, and he's still young enough that I think young enough, right? The guy who's in college for 6 years or whatever, but I think if you can kind of force him out of the pocket a little bit without like letting him just break away for 10-yard runs, whatever, that's where you might be able to get a couple mistakes out of him.
Campanile has done a nice job of switching it up. Yeah. Right? He's not a one pitch guy. And I think that's key to your point this week. You got to switch it up. First and foremost, you got to take care of the run game, obviously. But to your point, with what the Broncos can present to the back end of this Jacksonville defense.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of how this game kind of goes, right, I don't think it's imperative for the Jags to go in there and get out to a 10 or 14 to nothing lead to have a chance to win. Right. I think more than anything, they just don't need to get hit with 10 or 14 themselves on the road. And what about Cam Little in a game like this? I mean, at altitude, can Cam go from about 80 at mile high? I mean,
if the wind's cooperating, you know, this could be a pretty wild
yarder from Cam Little in Denver this week. How about that?
I mean, I could see it happening. Although I think too, that's the thing is like, we're starting to see it it was kind of a factor in both the Sunday night game and the Monday night game, but it's like, sure, you got kickers that can make 65 yarders, but if you miss, you get the opposing team the ball with, you know, you can only do it in certain situations, right? Yeah. But hopefully, who knows? Hopefully we get to see him try another 70 yarder because that would be cool as hell.
What's the confidence level, Ev, for this one?
The confidence level is like a 7. Like, it's like, it's pretty high.
That's 1997. Yeah,
that is me saying 7, but like kind of anticipating a loss. Like it's like I feel like the Jags are going to be in this game. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're at least going to keep it close. I think they're going to have a good rapport with themselves, and they might go win it. Why not? You know, why not go win it? But the Denver Broncos have won 11 straight, and there's been all this talk about like, the Broncos ain't played nobody, Paul. Dog, they've played some teams. They've beaten some pretty decent teams.
The Packers last Sunday.
Yeah. They like to go beat the Packers like they did after going down. That was impressive as all get out. That was really, really impressive. They beat, I know Houston was kind of down on their luck when they played, but they've like kicked the crap out of like Dallas. They beat like the Chiefs when the Chiefs were still healthy enough and trying to turn a corner. They beat the Eagles. Like, I mean, this is a team that, is very good. So if you go into this game and you lose, just one, stay healthy, and two, like just look good. Like still go out there, still don't lose momentum, even if you lose to a really good team in a difficult spot to play.
Yeah, I agree, because very winnable game still out there with the Colts.
Yeah, go.
Starting my guy, Phillip Rivers, looking like me out there. But, hey, give the guy a lot of credit at his age.
A lot of toughness.
Giving it a shot. And then the Titans. In a home game. So you don't want this to be sort of, if it is a loss, you don't want it to end up being a couple of 3 losses.
Right. Something that just completely
perhaps a preview for what we'll see in the playoffs. But I think at the end, it's kind of a preview of why home field could be very important or usually is important. I think that is keeping me from outright picking the Jags in this game. I'm like you, I think it's extremely competitive. I think the two quarterbacks aren't what they were last week in large part because of who's on the other side. Although the Packers are certainly not chop liver on that side. I don't see those kind of games for either quarterback. So I think the Broncos get it done by just a little bit, but again, I'm kind of cheering from Cam Little from like 76 to win it, something like that. I'm down with,
I'm thinking probably like 30-24 Broncos. I think it's a pretty damn good game. You know, a lot of scoring. I do think though that like if I'm Cohen, I'm just like I'm saying, look, I know that this is a difficult team. We have to, whatever. But if the Jags go win this game, and then you have the Colts and the Titans afterwards, you're not just thinking like, okay, well, we can go win the division. It's like, okay, we are potentially going to have the 2 or 1 seed. Like, if you can get a result or two to go your way, yeah. which that Bills win over the Patriots was definitely one of those to go your way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just such a massive moment for the Jaguars. Like, I mean, you wonder if the lights are too bright at this stage, but they, you know, we had that question about the Chiefs game and they weren't too bright, you know?
I mean, the thing is, man, this isn't a young Jags team.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a fifth year starter at quarterback. They've got veterans all over this football team. I guess in terms of quality of the roster, it could get exposed. The depth of it. Strigel goes out last weekend as one of those type of depth guys for the defense. I just think that this team is built in a way in terms of the experience it has at the key spots, Foye at your green dot on defense, you know, Eric Murray is a veteran on the back end of this defense. Sure, there are still some guys that haven't been at this depth in terms of the pool, but, you know, we'll see if it is. I'd be surprised if that's the case. I mean, the Jags have been in this window for a while now. They haven't played up to it. They haven't performed up to it. But in terms of the key pieces to go win a game like this, they've had those guys for a couple, 3 years now, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, this is like a win now situation. It's weird when you have a first year head coach and a first year GM and you're in win now, but they kind of are. It's great to see. Also, did a quick weather check. Game's going to kick off at 55 degrees.
Yeah.
Which seems impossible for Denver in December. But 55 degrees, no wind, basically, no snow. So at least in terms of that, you know, you talk about Cam Little 70 yarders, that's a good thing. And then also just in general, the Jags are coming from Florida. Are they going to be able to play in the elements? Doesn't seem like the elements are going to be roaring on Sunday. So,
no, it very well stacks up nicely for this Jags team, especially with the way they're playing right now. Ev, anything else before we get out of here on a Tuesday afternoon live from Party Girl Avondale, 4205 St. John's Avenue on the west side of Duval. Shout out, by the way, to the Reigns Vikings, Reigns High School Vikings on their state title win. I watched that via the old stream over the weekend. What a hell of a game. What a hell of a football team over on the north side, over at the graveyard there off Soutel Drive. With the Reigns Vikings. Hell of a win, hell of a season, all-time team in the Reigns Vikings. What about it, Eb? You got anything?
No, just a reminder to everyone to enjoy this. You know, at the end of the day, this is not something we've always gotten to experience a lot. So just really, really enjoy it. You know, and I'm starting to be ready. I'm not eating yet, but I'm putting on my bib and I'm bringing out my fork and knife and I'm ready to eat some crow. When it comes to Trevor Lawrence. I'm not bid in yet. I'm not either. But
he's on a heater. There's no question. Trevor Lawrence on an absolute heater. But some of the plays that once upon a time didn't go so well for Trevor Lawrence, they're working right now. It's working out. And that was the case even against the Jets. But, hey, you just roll with it. You ride it for as long as you can. Yep. All right, Ev. A lot of fun, as always, right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to our channel, please hit that subscribe button right now. Ryer on YouTube. Hit a like for us. A thumbs up would help us out tremendously as well. And with that, for Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Until next time, so long, everybody.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.